This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
What's up, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. A lot of action in Week 3 of the NFL. I am Bill Enright. He is Todd DeVries with me as always. Todd, what do you say we start off the show? Some major news in the National Football League. The Cleveland Browns trading away running back Trent Richardson.
How about it? Indianapolis Colts upgrade their offense, Mr. Bill.
It's like a Beyonce song. Let me upgrade you. Are you a fan of Beyonce?
No.
No, not a fan. Okay.
What, is that a song? Let me upgrade
That is a song. Let me upgrade you. That's what the Colts did last night by trading away their first round pick in 2014. Gave the Browns the first round pick, and they took Trent Richardson. I think this deal is a steal for the Colts.
Well, you got one team looking for the near term and one team looking down the line. The Browns are obviously tanking for Teddy, Bill.
Tanking for Teddy. Now, why don't you explain to everyone what that really means?
Well, a couple years ago, the Colts sucked for luck, right?
Correct.
Peyton Manning was hurt. He might or might not have been healthy enough to finish out the year. They said, Peyton, sit on that sideline. We want to get that number one overall draft pick. And that's exactly what they did. And they transitioned rather nicely from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. Now you've got the Cleveland Browns, Bill. They have a new regime, a new GM, a new president, a new CEO. They don't want old man Whedon as their quarterback of the future. The guy's already 30-something years old.
Brandon Whedon was their, I think, the 22nd or 24th pick overall in 2012.
I don't want to toot our own horn here, Bill, but we hated that pick.
I mean, at the time when they picked it, Aaron Rodgers, who had already won a Super Bowl at that point, was younger than Brandon Whedon, who was just heading into the league.
Yeah, so, you know, give the Browns some credit for at least identifying that they don't have what it takes to win at the quarterback position. So they're looking to try to get in line for perhaps Teddy Bridgewater, who right now seems to be the consensus number one quarterback, probably the number one overall prospect in all of college football. The quarterback for Louisville, he's ripping it up this year. Everyone expected him to rip it up, Bill. So unlike Matt Barkley last year, who at this time, well, not at this time, but last August, everyone thought USC's Matt Barkley was probably the number one quarterback in the land from a pro prospect potential. You know, this year, Teddy Bridgewater's living up to the hype. So that's what I'm guessing they're trying to do here, Bill. They're trying to accumulate as many first-round picks as they can, or accumulate as many losses as they can in the 2013 season, and see if they can get a franchise quarterback in April. Or actually, it's in May this year. The draft is, I believe, May 8th, 9th, and 10th this year.
I just want to talk about the Colts here for a second, then we'll jump back over to the Browns. Todd, the Colts, number one pick in 2012, number one overall pick. They selected Andrew Luck. Now they have the number three pick overall, Trent Richardson, who was one of the most highly touted running backs that year coming out of Alabama, only in his second year in the NFL. Andrew Luck, only in his second year. T.Y. Hilton, the wide receiver. Dwayne Allen, Colby Fleener, the tight ends. Both, all three of those guys, only in their second year. The Colts are not only a playoff team from last year, but they had a major move now with Trent Richardson on the team.
You know, Bill, and here we are on Patriots.com radio network, and I'm wondering, Patriots fans, you know, are you worried about the Colts, you know, maybe a little bit more than you were 48 hours ago? Because, Bill, this has the potential to really open up their offense.
Sure does.
I mean, they had no running game. We knew that. This will obviously help in that regard. But, you know, this is going to open up some throwing lanes, I believe, for Andrew Luck to all of those young receivers and tight ends you just mentioned. So this is an upgrade for this team in the near term. And if I'm a Patriots fan, you know, you've got a couple years left in the window of Tom Brady at his, you know, at his height, correct?
Right.
You know, maybe longer, but you got a couple years here where you think you still have a good shot to get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. Well, now you got the Colts that are, you know, making a move to stand in your way. So I'm curious to hear if the Patriots care about this, the Patriots fans. Are they, you know, does this even register to them as a, you know, a severe upgrade to a potential playoff opponent, or do they not care at all? Is this just not a big deal to them at all? Well, I mean, that, I don't know what you think and what Kevin thinks. I mean, is Kevin out there?
That's a very interesting question, Todd. The number here is 855-728-7500. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. Again, the phone number, 855-PATS-500. So it kind of, let's take it a step further here. If the Colts don't scare Patriot fans yet, other than the Broncos, who's really in New England's way going through the playoffs, trying to make it to the New York for the Super Bowl?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Bill, the Texans, it's the same thing every year with the Texans.
Right. Okay?
And they haven't really upgraded too much. I like Nuke Hopkins, wide receiver, but he's just a secondary wide receiver.
Yep.
I'm not that afraid. If I'm a Patriots fan, I've seen the Texans. I think that they kind of are what they are, and I don't see them getting much better.
Right.
Bengals are a team on the rise.
No doubt about it.
Okay. So there'd be a team I'd keep a close eye on. The Steelers are on their way down, obviously. Chiefs, they were 2-14 last year, Bill.
Right.
Chiefs are going to be a pest this year. Off to a great start. I don't see them being in the Patriots' way yet. So maybe the Dolphins, Bill? I know you're high on the Dolphins.
I'm higher on the Chiefs.
You're higher on the Chiefs than the Dolphins?
I like the Chiefs a lot more, Todd.
For this year, for this season?
Yep, for this season. I like them a lot more. Yeah, I do. Okay. I really do.
All right.
But I think that's an interesting question, and you brought it up with the Trent Richardson trade. It certainly makes them a much stronger contender for the AFC playoff picture. And that's a great question, Todd. What do the Patriot fans think? Are you a little bit concerned about the Indianapolis Colts more so than you were maybe 24 hours ago? Let's put it that way. And if the Colts don't concern you at all, other than the Broncos, who are you really worried about? There's not much out there. Todd, you just ran through them. That's why Patriot fans, listen, you guys are spoiled. You have had success over and over and over again for the last 12 years. You made it to 6 Super Bowls in that time, winning 3 of them.
Yeah.
You got a team like the Cleveland Browns who hasn't had a good quarterback since God knows when. They have that jersey. You sent me a picture of this jersey the other day. I think it's hilarious. I think the original name on the jersey was Tim Couch, right?
Okay. Yeah, it's an old Tim Couch jersey. The fan obviously bought it when Tim Couch was a rookie.
Right.
Expecting to wear that jersey for, you know, the next decade.
Right.
Didn't quite work out that way. What they did was they got some, like, a white duct tape, and they just put the next name. I'm looking for it as we speak here. I tweeted it yesterday, Bill.
Yeah.
They kept putting duct tape down each and every quarterback that came in after Tim Brown. Here it is.
Yeah, Ty Detmer.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes.
I don't know who the next one is. Wynn?
Wynn.
I don't even know who that is.
Doug Peterson. Kelly Holcomb.
Yep. Josh McCown.
Josh McCown. Jeff Garcia. Trent Dilfer.
Charlie Fry.
Charlie Fry. Ken Dorsey.
Bruce Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Derek Anderson. Brady Quinn. Jake Del Holmes. Seneca Wallace. Colt McCoy, Brandon Weeden, and now Hoyer. So they got about what, 15 names on this list? When was Couch drafted? 2002? 2001?
18 names on the list. He was drafted the same year as Donovan McNabb, I think 99.
Okay. So they have 18 names on this list since 1999. How many seasons is that?
Like 14 years.
All right. So 14 years they've had 18 different quarterbacks. Patriots, you guys have had one quarterback since 2000.
Yeah.
One. The Cleveland Browns have had 18. I mean, sometimes you have to just sit back and say, you know what, we're a very fortunate fan base, very fortunate franchise. And it all starts at the top, Todd. It all starts in the front office with consistency, because this is the problem the Cleveland Browns now have. You said it, they have a new GM. A new team president, a new head coach. And when that happens, that turnover happens, they want all of their new guys. You look at a team like the Patriots, all staples, consistency across their front office, their GM, their head coach, and of course their players. But when you don't have that consistency in the front office, you have these guys coming in. The new GM wants a different running back. The new GM wants a different quarterback. So we saw the Browns draft a running back and a quarterback just 2 years ago, two drafts ago, in the first round, and already we're speculating that quarterback Brandon Whedon is not going to be with the team next year, and we already know that Trent Richardson has already been traded away. So there's two picks from the first round just in 2012, absolutely wasted, because neither player not only panned out, but is going to play with the team for more than three seasons.
It's pretty remarkable. I think the most incredible thing about this trade, Bill, is simply the timing of it. I mean, you know, new regime in Cleveland. Would it have shocked you? It would not have shocked me if this deal had gotten done in the offseason, you know, 6 months ago, around the draft or after the draft, something like that. You know what? That wouldn't surprise me at all. But two games into the season, it's just very odd timing to me. And it's a PR disaster in Cleveland.
Oh, those poor fans.
Yeah. Now, again, I see where they're coming from here. And I respect the fact. I mean, think back to Joe Banner, okay? He ultimately calls the shots for the Browns now. Okay.
Right. Where was he before this?
Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
He and Andy Reid. He was the capologist for the Eagles, and then he became more than that. He became a little bit more personnel guy as well. He never really had the personnel title, but trust me, he was involved in personnel decisions.
Okay.
So think back to when he and Andy Reid started out. Their first draft pick, the entire city of Philadelphia wanted them to select running back Ricky Williams of the Texas Longhorns.
Right,
and they selected a guy named Donovan McNabb. They went quarterback instead of running back. So you know Banner does not value, 15 years ago, he didn't value the running back position as a top five pick.
Okay.
So fast forward to now, he inherits this team, and I think he just wants to go, and he wants to get that franchise QB next year. And he's going to do whatever it takes to get it. He doesn't care about the fan base this year. He never cared about the fan bases in Philly. He looks at the numbers. He's very calculating, and he looks at the budget, and it's kind of like fantasy football for him, in a way.
Right.
So, you know, season ticket holders be damned. Number 33 jerseys in Cleveland be damned. I don't care. I don't care the timing. I'm going to accumulate as many draft picks as I can, because it increases my chances of getting that number one overall pick or close to it to grab my franchise quarterback next year. That's what the Browns are thinking. That's the only possible reason they would do this.
All right, so we think they're tanking for Teddy. They want Teddy Bridgewater, the Louisville quarterback. You know what's very interesting, Todd, and it just hit me. When we were at the NFL draft this year, remember they were shooting that movie?
Yep.
They were shooting some kind of NFL draft movie. And in this movie, it's about the Cleveland Browns general manager and the Cleveland Browns team president and all the wheeling and dealing they're doing in the offseason and the day of the draft in order, everyone thinks, to get the best quarterback of this year's draft class or whatever year they're in this movie. And what I learned from sitting there, because I was kind of in on the action, we were right next to where they were shooting the movie, and what I learned talking to some of the producers is the Cleveland Browns don't end up taking who everyone thinks they're going to take. Now, how weird would it be if this movie comes out, the Cleveland Browns don't end up taking Bridgewater, and this movie comes out kind of around the same time? It's almost like a made-for-Hollywood movie, but the Browns are doing it in real life.
I think this movie's called Draft Day.
Yeah,
I'm looking online right now. I think it stars
I just totally gave away the ending, but
spoiler alert.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have done that.
Jennifer Garner, Kevin Costner are in this movie. A big-time movie.
And, it is.
Yeah, so they filmed some of that and Dennis Leary's in it, too.
There's actually a young lady in the movie that I'm very familiar with from my days of college.
Care to go into that in more detail?
No, I don't.
Okay. How familiar are you with this woman?
She and my friend are very familiar with each other.
Oh, interesting.
It's very interesting. She was by us. Kind of, yeah, whatever.
She was by?
She was sitting right. Oh, you know what? She was sitting next to me like the next day. I don't know if you were there.
Got it.
Or maybe you weren't there yet, I should say.
So getting back to your point.
Okay. The Browns are making a Hollywood movie in real life here.
And there's a good chance this thing's going to be released around the next draft.
Yeah.
And they might have the number one pick.
And it would be crazy if they followed the same ending as the movie.
Well,
by not picking the player that they're tanking the season for. It's hard to digest, Todd, as a fan. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, and listen, I know we're on the Patriots Network, but just put yourselves in the shoes of Cleveland Browns fan. You know your team in week three has already given up on the season with just two games in the books. We're in week three. They're 0-2. They might go 0-12 before they win a game. Maybe they finish the season without a win. That's only happened once or twice in the season.
Yeah, you're going overboard.
All right, but I'm just saying that's what the Browns are dealing with for the next 7 months until the NFL draft happens.
Again, it's from a PR perspective, it's a disaster. And the Browns fans, I mean, the Browns radio network right now is probably blowing up their servers. But building a team, I get what they're doing, Bill. I get it. It's a tough pill to swallow for the next 240 days, which is when the next draft is, roughly.
Yeah.
8 months until the draft. I mean, these Browns fans are going to have to wait and slog through the season. Rooting – I mean, and here's a question, Bill. Are you rooting to go 0-16? I mean, I know they won't, but, I mean, what if they win four or five games and
hey,
they get the number eight pick?
You know what? The Jaguars are pretty bad. The Oakland Raiders are pretty bad, and both of those franchises need a quarterback as well. So the Browns better pray they finish with the worst record.
Yeah. I mean, let's say they have the number two pick.
They're not getting Bridgewater.
Well, yeah. Let's say Jacksonville's one, and they're two. You know, just because they have a couple first-round picks and a couple extra third-round picks this year and all this stuff doesn't mean that the team ahead of them is going to take that, you know, to just switch spots with them.
Right.
If that team ahead of them needs a quarterback and Bridgewater lives up to this hype, you know, he doesn't like, you know, fall flat on his face the rest of the season or during the combine or any of that stuff, no one's going to trade out of it.
Right. It's different if the Packers had the number one pick.
Yeah.
They don't need a quarterback.
Well, a couple years ago, the Rams, they didn't need RG3 because they had Sam Bradford. And you could question their decision making, but they had Sam Bradford under the old salary cap. Right. They were locked to him. There's nothing they could do. So they got the best they could. They traded out. The Redskins traded in and got RG3. You know, maybe that happens this year, but maybe it doesn't. There's no guarantee. I mean, again, this isn't week 10, Bill, and the Browns are 1-9.
It's week 3.
If you're 1-9 in week 10 or whenever the trade deadline is and you're a Browns fan, then you can accept it. You know, okay, season's over anyway. It's, you know, cool. Let's try to get Bridgewater.
Right.
But it's week 2.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't get it. I don't get it.
It's week 2.
The timing's terrible.
They've had one home game. You know, thank goodness they're not playing Cleveland this week.
Yeah,
because
the stadium
might
be burning.
They play the Bengals at home in week 4.
Lots of luck.
But, yeah. So, interesting.
A little Ohio rivalry.
But, Bill, again, I think the perspective I'd like to hear from all of our callers today, whether you're a fantasy football caller or not, you know, we're going to be answering fantasy questions today, as we always do, Bill, but... You know, give us your perspective from a Patriots fan. You know, what do you think? Does this scare you at all? Or is this just, we're better than the Colts anyway, not worried about it?
855-728-7500 is the phone number where we're going to take Sean in Vancouver. What's going on, Sean? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Sean, are you a Patriots fan?
I am a Patriots fan, and I will answer your question, even though that's not why I called. But, you know, I'm concerned with Tampa Bay right now. That's what I'm thinking, and on Monday morning, I'll be concerned with the Atlanta Falcons. This season, the earliest I you know, possibly will be concerned with the Colts is in the playoffs. And to put on those shoes, those Cleveland Brown shoes, you know, they hurt. They're not comfortable. I don't like them. I've worn shoes like that for 30 years as a Patriots fan, and I'm much happier with the shoes I have now.
Sean, Todd, Bill Belichick has even his fans brainwashed into giving the politically correct answer. Come on, Sean, you're a fan. Other than the Denver Broncos, who is scaring you in the playoffs?
Well, we haven't seen what they could do with Richardson. Obviously, it should improve them. I mean, the guy's going to be able to have a lot more lanes to run. You're not going to put eight in the box with the Colts, you know, with the way Andrew Luck can pass and the weapons he has. So it certainly improves them. I don't think defensively they're that amazing. I imagine that Patriots could beat them down the stretch if they have their weapons back. But you know, it's so much changes in the NFL. So there's so many injuries, so many things can go right or go wrong. You know, but the reason I called is I have a question that has like an overall philosophical or strategic point of view to it. I have.
Luckily, I was a philosophy major at Syracuse University, so I'm all about the philosophical questions. Go shoot, my man. What do you got?
And the fantasy football expert. So that's really what it comes down to as well.
That's right.
RG3. RG3 is our starting quarterback. We drafted him, probably in the 8th round or so. It's a 12-team PPR. And our backup is Vic. And right now, Vic is the hot player, but
sure.
I like the matchup for RG3 this week. So I'm trying to decide, which is more important. Is it you go with their hot player or do you go with the matchup?
Todd, why don't you take this one? Because I think you have an interesting perspective about what happens on Thursday Night Football and why you'd want to ride the hot player.
Well, yeah, two things. RG3, okay, let's go with Vic. Vic is healthy. Vic is hot. I'm riding Vic until he is hot no more. And that'll probably be when he's on crutches in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
That's probably what's going to happen. The only thing, and this is just me, maybe this is philosophical, maybe this is just superstition, or maybe this is just a poor case of bad memory, but I seem to remember the last couple seasons, these Thursday night games do not live up to the hype. A lot of weird things happen. Short week, teams coming off of 3 days of rest. They're not coming off of a bye. The Eagles and Chiefs just played a couple days ago. Chiefs had to travel across the country. Everyone's talking about this being another 33-30 type of game. I wouldn't be surprised if it was underwhelming. All that being said, though, Bill, I still have to ride Michael Vick in this game.
Last Thursday's game, you really couldn't appreciate it unless you love punting.
Well, I was at last Thursday's game. I got soaked. Todd, does the fact that Andy Reid is very familiar with how Mike Vick plays...
No.
No part of it. No part of it whatsoever.
Totally different offense. No.
Okay. All right.
And Andy's not a defensive guy at all. He has no idea what his defense is doing. He's only a offensive play caller, so that has nothing to do with anything. It comes down to this, again. I've said this, and maybe this is something for you to consider, Sean. I would be trading Michael Vick in the next couple of weeks before he gets injured.
I'd like to, but our league is really, it's really deep with quarterback, and there's not that much of a
problem. Well, that's the problem, Bill, and you brought that up to me in the Tuesday show, is that it's such a deep quarterback league right now. There's nobody that really needs a Vick because there's like a dozen good quarterbacks out there.
Right. Right now, Blaine Gabbert and Brandon Whedon are the quarterbacks getting hurt. If it was Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, or Aaron Rodgers, it'd be a different story. People would love to have Vick on their team.
We haven't had any injuries to the good quarterbacks yet. So
exactly.
And the first one will probably be Vick. Does that answer your question, Sean? Talk in circles there?
We'll go with Vic tonight just to play the hot hand. It seems close. It's going to be a couple of points, I think, either way. But it was just more of like overall, which makes more sense, the hot hand or the matchup? That's really what was going through. That was sort of the argument.
Just to tell you how close it is, at ffchamps.com on our weekly player rankings, we have Mike Vick with a score of 91, RG3 with a score of 89. So we're with you. Very close call. But we are giving the notch to Mike Vick.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, guys.
Best of luck to you, Sean.
Bill, Vick, he still obviously is an excellent runner, especially in this offense. And
sure.
RG3 is not right now. RG3 has not shown us that he can run like he ran last year. So that's the big difference here from an upside potential, right?
Right.
Because all it takes is like on a 3rd and 12, Vick scrambles for 30 yards. That's an extra 3 points. That's like 75 passing yards in one little quick play. RG3 can't do that right now.
No, he can't. And since we are on the topic of Mike Vick tonight, we do have the Eagles taking on the Chiefs. Andy Reid returns to Philadelphia, where he coached for how long, Todd? 14 seasons?
Yep.
14 seasons. One of the longest tenured head coaches, but he left Philadelphia in the offseason, and now he's with the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's returning back to Philadelphia. Are they retiring Donovan McNabb's number tonight?
Yep.
All right, so a lot of kind of action for the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw the Kansas City Chiefs pretty much shut down the Dallas Cowboys offense, but the Eagles, top 3 in yards per game, and they're in the top 5 for points per game. Their offense right now, Todd, firing on all cylinders.
Absolutely, and they're all healthy. Again, that's the key. The thing that really troubled the Eagles last year, nobody talked about, was their all-pro offensive lineman, Jason Peters, was out for the year.
Yep.
And I remember they did a, somebody did a study, I can't remember who did it. They tracked LeSean McCoy's big runs from the 2011 season, okay, going back a couple seasons.
Right.
And he had like 30 big runs. I forget what the big run was, 15 or more yards, something like that. He had 30 of them. And 27 of the 30 were behind the behind Jason Peters.
Wow.
So Jason Peters was out last year. Offense stank. They had injuries. It just all fell apart. Offensive line is healthy. Vic is healthy. McCoy is healthy. DeSean Jackson is healthy. They got some rookies in the mix. So the offense is flying high. Their defense is terrible. So, it you know, it has all the makings to be an entertaining game, Bill. Again, these weird Thursday night short week games, you see a lot of vanilla game plans, and teams just try to slug out a low-scoring victory. I don't know if Chip Kelly, that's in his DNA.
Yeah.
he probably doesn't know what that means.
Right. So
it wouldn't surprise me if Andy Reid, you know, slowed things down a little bit.
855-728-7500. Certainly going to be a good game Thursday Night Football as we're broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio. We're going to move over to Dave in Connecticut who wants to talk about the Pats. What's up, Dave? How's it going?
Hey, guys. Good down in Connecticut. I just, you know, I love listening to you guys. I love listening to all the podcasts. I just got to say, you know, I mean, I've been a season ticket holder since Parcells came there and, you know, we were horrible and sat through all those games. And,
okay.
You know, I think Patriot Nation needs to get off the ledge, okay? We're 2-0. We're 2-0 in the division. Now, I'm not saying we're lights out. We're playing lights out football right now. I'm not saying that. But if you want to start a season, I don't think, you know, 2-0 is bad. And I don't think 2-0 in the division is bad as well. Okay?
You know, Dave, we need to clap it up for you, Dave, because I think you're one of the first people that have actually made some rational sense. You guys are 2-0. You played in the
Let me say this to everyone who's listening right now.
Go ahead.
Would you rather be the highest scoring offense in the league and not win a Super Bowl, or be a 11-5 or maybe a 12-4 team? Okay, that's going to chug it out every week and win the Super Bowl. Okay, I think you know these rookies that were signed beat out all these veterans that we had. At one time, didn't we have like 12 wide receivers on the team?
Yep.
They beat them out. You know, that was Dobson's first game. His first catch was a touchdown. Now, granted, you know, on the ball where he dropped, where he stretched out, you know, yeah, he should have caught that ball. Okay. And let's get off Wes Welker. You know, I'm glad Wes played for us and he did a great job for us and all that. But he plays for Denver now, okay? You know, and stop trying to compare Amendola to Welker. I mean, you know, like you guys keep saying, he's younger, you know, and hopefully, you know, he will get healthy and, you know, he will make us forget about Wes Welker. But who was Wes Welker before he became a Patriot? You know, Tom Brady makes these receivers. Okay, you can go from Vincent Brisby to, you know, I love Troy Brown. But he wasn't a household name until, you know, he played with Brady.
Dave, let me ask you a quick question, Dave. It's interesting that you bring up the rookie wide receivers. Todd, you like both of these guys when they were in college. You followed their careers, Kembrell Tompkins at Cincinnati, Aaron Dobson at Marshall. We kind of remember back to last year. You lost against the Arizona Cardinals. You lost against the Baltimore Ravens. All of a sudden, you're playing the Buffalo Bills. The score is pretty close. And then in the second half of that game against the Bills, the offense absolutely exploded. Dave, you seem like a pretty knowledgeable Pats fan. Why is it so important not to panic when it's just entering the week 3?
Well, I think, you know, there's 16 games in the season. And like I said, if you were to ask any Patriots fan how we wanted to start off, you'd want to beat the Jets. You'd want to beat Buffalo. You'd want to be 2-0. Guess what, guys? That's where we are.
Absolutely.
We're not blowing teams out. A W is a W. Okay.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, Dave, we appreciate your call. Todd, I mean, the Patriot fans, other than the Broncos, we keep asking this question. We haven't really gotten an answer. There's really not a whole lot to worry about in the AFC.
Here's the deal, Bill. The rational Patriot fans, if you dial it back a month and a half ago or 2 months ago when all hell was breaking loose, you know, bad news everywhere you looked, okay? Most Patriots fans said, hey, man, if we can just get through the first half of the year, 6-2, 5-3, get healthy, you know, implement all these new toys into the offense and the defense and get hot at the right time, we'll be fine in the playoffs, right? Well, here we are, Bill, 2 weeks in. 2-0. So far, so good. Who cares if they're winning ugly? They're winning, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think things are on track. I mean, when Gronk comes back in a couple of weeks and gets healthy, hopefully healthy, that's a huge weapon on the offense. You know, people that are worried about the offense will come around. Amendola, yeah, he's an injury concern too, but you got to hope he's back. You know, rest him out until he's healthy, get him back in the mix. They're going to be fine. This team's going to get better as the year goes on. A lot of new pieces this year, Bill. I think that the rational Patriot fan thought that this team would be kind of building momentum in the second half of the year as long as they didn't fall flat in the first half of the season. And right now, hey, maybe they're not performing up to expectations, but they're winning, so who cares?
You know, you just don't lose a guy like Wes Welker, like Brandon Lloyd, like Aaron Hernandez. You don't have Rob Gronkowski to start the season and expect to be fine. You should be happy you're 2-0 at this point. I think it's quite the accomplishment. I really do. Let's go back to the phone lines. Kat in Chicago needs some help with her fantasy football team. What's going on, Kat?
Hello, I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. How can we help you today?
Well, I have four running backs to choose from, and I start two. The first is MJD, who I'm going to sit because he's hurt.
Playing the Seahawks, too.
That?
Yep. Yeah, he's playing the Seahawks. Tough matchup.
Then my other three are Trent Richardson,
okay,
Giovanni Bernard, and Joique Bell.
Oh, yeah, pretty solid running back core there. Certainly the transition from the Browns to the Colts is good news for Trent Richardson. But, Todd, do we think it's good news for this week? How much can he really learn the Indianapolis Colts playbook in just a few days before having to travel out to San Francisco to take on the Niners?
Yeah, it's a weird timing thing, Bill. I mean, even if this was a Monday, if the transaction happened on a Monday, there'd be a better chance. But Wednesday night, the news rolls in, right? Trent Richardson's listening to his radio. He hears the news on the radio.
Right, that's crazy.
That?
Yeah, he found out he was traded by listening to sports radio, and they said Trent Richardson, former Browns running back Trent Richardson, has been traded to the Colts. If that was me driving, I would have gotten into a car accident. They're talking about me on the radio, and all of a sudden I'm traded?
I know.
It's crazy.
The point is it's Wednesday night, so today he lands in Indianapolis. Tomorrow, Saturday, they're flying to San Fran. So, how many reps is he going to get in practice? You know what I mean? So yeah. I think that his workload is going to be split this week with Ahmad Bradshaw. We love Trent Richardson on the Colts long term. It's going to take a week or two for him to get acclimated to the offense and learn the playbook and all that. I mean, a running back, Bill, it is the easiest position to transition into.
Right.
You know, hand on the ball, let him go. However, the pass protection is a whole other thing. So this week we think he's going to share the load with Ahmad Bradshaw. They're playing the Niners, which, yeah, it's not the greatest matchup, right? I mean, I know that Marshawn Lynch ran all over him, and Eddie Lacy in week one did okay against him too. But you have to admit, not the greatest matchup. So he's not a surefire start this week.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, so you would go with Bernard and Joique Bell.
Well, Joique Bell, you got to keep an eye on Reggie Bush. Because
right.
If Reggie Bush, who did not practice again today, right, Bill?
Did not practice.
Yeah, if he doesn't play, then Joique Bell, no-brainer, is in your lineup.
Right.
If Reggie Bush does play, I still, Bill, might put Bell over Trent Richardson. Maybe. Is it a PPR format?
No.
No. What do you think, Bill?
I don't know. I still might play Bell as well. Only because the Redskins,
look at the matchup.
Their defense stinks. The Redskins' defense stinks.
It's terrible. You know what? Play it safe. Good things are coming down the line for you and Trent Richardson, but not this week. So I would go with Bell. You're lucky to have him on your roster. Reggie Bush is definitely not going to be 100%, even if he does play. Play Bell this week. Wait and see with Trent. And then hopefully next week you can plug Trent in there and be good to go the rest of the year.
Best of luck to you, Kat. Oh, yeah. Yeah, one more question. What do you got?
Well, I was going to say I'm also in my third wide receiver spot. I'm going back and forth. I can either play Torrey Smith or Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
All right. Guys. Best of luck to you. We got to take a quick break here, Todd. We're really just getting started on Football Nation. We have a little bit of breaking news. The Colts placed tight end Dwayne Allen on injured reserve. That opens things up for Colby Fleener, huh?
Yeah, he's a guy to snag if you
Absolutely.
Need tight end help. You know.
Actually, we're going to take a break just so I can go and do that on my own fantasy leagues. And when we come back, Kerry Burr from Cold Hard Football Facts is going to join us. You're not going to want to miss anything. We're going to preview the Patriots matchup versus the Buccaneers and take a look at Kerry's quality stats, the stats that only he has at coldhardfootballfacts.com. That's all coming up next on Patriots.com Radio.
Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
FFJets! Win your fantasy league
and your trophy too.
It's FFJets! FFJets for you. News, advice, rankings, and expert advice too. FFJets is for you.
FFChamps.com, ensuring you win from draft to playoffs. FFChamps.com, extraordinary results for fantasy football dominance.
You're as cold.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Burr does. It's time for the cold, hard football facts right here on Football Nation.
Welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you, and we're pleased to be joined by our good friend, our co-worker, our confidant, the pig, potentate of pigskin, Kerry Burr from coldhardfootballfacts.com. What's up, Kerry?
Bill, I am the Pac-Man of crunching stats.
I like that.
Determine that this afternoon.
The Pac-Man of crunching stats.
Crunching, crunching. Hey, look at me. You've got a little sound effect. Every call is the Pac-Man.
I don't know if I should be impressed that Kevin had that or ashamed that he knew right where it was immediately as Carrie's talking about it.
We didn't plan that, folks. That was not prepared. That was off the cuff.
Kevin, you're either very talented or just a huge nerd.
I'm talented.
Okay.
He's got
all
a
right.
Dan Marino quick release at the production booth.
I like that. So, Carrie, big matchup for the New England Patriots this weekend with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of familiar situation here. Darrelle Revis, former player of the Jets, now on the Bucs. And Tom Brady and him kind of used to go back and forth because, obviously, Brady, the quarterback, Darrelle Revis, one of the shutdown corners in the NFL before his ACL injury.
Yep.
How does the offensive stats match up against the Bucs' defensive stats?
Well, listen, you know, obviously the Patriots are not, you know, after two games, are far from the offensive juggernaut, you know, we've come to expect out of the New England Patriots. Just looking right now at some of our quality stats, these are stats the Patriots have dominated since 2007. They are number 26 in real quarterback rating. That means 25 quarterbacks through two games have played better than Tom Brady. Number 26 in offensive passer rating. 25 quarterbacks have passed the ball better than Tom Brady. And here's the stunner, 28th in real passing yards per attempt, which means 27 quarterbacks are getting the ball downfield better right now than Tom Brady. Now, obviously, we know the reasons why. We know the attrition at the wide receiver position the Patriots have faced. But, you know, I have full confidence those numbers are going to come back and they'll improve and then that team will get better. You know, passing the ball, Tom Brady has nothing to prove. You know, but with that said, the Bucs have looked fairly good in the opposite stats defensively. The Bucs have been a top 10 team, but they've not really played an elite schedule. I mean, they played the Saints, they held the Saints in check, but week one against the Jets, Geno Smith right now, the lowest rated passer by any measure in football through two games. So that's helped the Bucs look a little better. It's also helped the Patriots look a little better defensively too, of course, because they've played him as well. But I think, you know, listen, guys, the schedule makers were very kind to the Patriots this season, opening up against a rookie quarterback in E.J. Manuel in his first start, opening up against Geno Smith in his second start, and opening up, you know, in week three against embattled 50-year veteran Josh Freeman. So given the circumstances, the Patriots are poised to be 3-0 and have had a very fortuitous schedule to start the season.
So, Kerry, for Patriots fans out there, what should they be worried about with this matchup? You know, looking through all your quality stats for the Bucs, I know it's early in the year, but, you know, where are they starting to kind of flex their muscles? What categories, what quality stats are they excelling in right now?
Well, listen, right now the Buccaneers are the seventh-best team defensively, what we call defensive real quarterback rating. What we do with real quarterback rating, Todd, is we measure all aspects of quarterbacking play.
Okay.
Not just passing the football, which is most of it, but also, you know, running. Do they rush for touchdowns? Do they get sacked? Do they fumble the ball? We measure all those aspects offensively and defensively. And the Buccaneers right now, seventh defensively. Now, like we said, they played Geno Smith, but they also played Drew Brees, guys. He's a pretty good quarterback. I don't know if you heard.
So, not bad.
You know, so they are defensively have played pretty well. I think this is going to be another tough matchup for Tom Brady and the crew. But you know what? The Buccaneers, as bad as the Patriots have been passing the ball, Josh Freeman and the Buccaneers are even worse, one of the worst teams in football offensively right now. Their passing game is atrocious. And, you know, the Patriots have an advantage despite their problems on offense. They have an advantage offensively in this game.
Now, Kerry, we had a caller call in earlier who made some sense to us. He basically, what he was saying, I believe it was Dave, the caller, he basically said, don't panic, Patriot Nation, because the Patriots are winning. They're winning ugly, but they're winning. You know, he wasn't worried that the offense wasn't putting up 500 yards per game. He was worried about the wins and losses, and I know that's what Cold Hard's all about. Now, I saw an article last week, Kerry, about the Patriots perhaps rediscovering their DNA in that ugly win last week. What can you tell us about that article? Because I thought it was pretty interesting.
Well, listen, here's the problem, okay? And let me read part of the story to you. The New England Patriots since 2007, Todd, have played sexy, sun-soaked, bikini-clad football. It was pigskin pornography. It excited the score. It ignited the scoreboard and tickled the loins of fans, observers, and analysts. It yielded plenty of excitement, pretty boy cover photos, and magazine centerfold. It also yielded zero championships. Guys, when this team was winning championships, they were a tough, back alley, hungry, nasty street fight team that would slice the throat open to get a win. And that's how they won championships. That's how from 2003 to 2004, they were the greatest victory machine in the history of football. 34 wins over 2 years, the most ever. 21-game win streak during that period, the most wins in a row ever. 2 Super Bowl championships, and they won nasty street fight football, guys. In 2003, they won 2 games 12-0. They beat the Cowboys on Monday Night Football 12-0. They beat the Dolphins on the Blizzard 12-0. They beat the Browns that year 9-3. They beat the Giants in a monsoon 17-6. That team won ugly football, but you know what? They won, guys.
They won, yep.
And here's what Vince Wilfork said after the game Thursday night. Sometimes it wasn't about all the offensive teams. Sometimes it wasn't enough to get it done in the big show. I like winning 13-10. That's Vince Wilfork. That's not the cold, hot football facts. And this team needed to rediscover itself. And I think long-term, guys, this could be good for this team to rediscover the nasty, tattooed, you know, street fighter that they used to be. Because they've lost that. They've lost that, guys. And I know they've looked pretty, but they've lost something, a part of who they were, and they haven't won championships. And I think, you know, the way we put it, get tough or die. That should be the Patriots' motto in 2013. Get tough or die. They have no choice but to toughen up. And so far they've done it, guys. And I think they're going to be 3-0 on Sunday. They're going to be one of about 4 or 5 teams 3-0 after 3 weeks and only going to get better. I think that's a good sign for this team long term.
Kerry, it's interesting you bring up getting tough and the success that they had when they were winning those close, ugly, nitty-gritty kind of football games. I was at the Thursday night game just last week against the Jets, and at halftime, they retired, introduced Teddy Bruschi into the Patriots Hall of Fame. And the crowd was louder when they were inducting him into the Pats Hall of Fame than they were throughout the entire game. So maybe you're right. Maybe they do have to kind of get back to this grind it out victories, defensive-led, not so much sexy offense, but more a little bit of old-fashioned football where it's knock them dead and knock them around and knock them out, and you pick up wins that way.
Let me read something from you to that point, Bill, from this story. Somewhere along the way, Patriots fans and even the organization got bored with all the success. They no longer wanted to win ugly. They no longer wanted to be the subject of ridicule in those pigskin beauty pageants on ESPN. Patriots winning was no longer good enough. Patriots fans wanted to look pretty doing it, and they looked prettier than Carrie Underwood in a frilly red thong and a corset since 2007. But it hasn't worked, guys. It hasn't worked. I know people are going to miss Wes Welker. I know, you know, Randy Moss and Wes Welker made the greatest receiving tandem ever in 2007. But at the end of the day, pretty teams don't get it done. It's still a tough, brutal, ugly sport. And, you know, as we say, the sexy Patriots in this environment came up limp when it mattered most, failing to deliver when the games turned ugly. And that's really that's the gist of it, guys. And who's won championships in recent years? You know, 4-5 of the last 6 Super Bowl champions didn't even score 400 points in a season.
Yep. Yeah.
It was the tough teams, guys. It's still a tough sport. We talk about all the passing stats and everything, but you know what? Peyton Manning won a championship back in 2006. Brady lost one in 2004. And when Peyton Manning won, it was because that defense got nasty in the postseason, you know?
Right.
That's what wins. The Ravens last year were not a pretty team. Granted, Joe Flacco played well, but that was a street fight team, you know? And that's what wins. That's what wins. And Patriots fans lost their way. I'm telling you right now, they got spoiled by the victories and forgot what it means, how good you should feel to win an NFL game. They used to enjoy winning games. Now, if they didn't win properly, you know, listen to the Patriots media, the New England Boston media on Friday was apoplectic. They didn't realize their team was 2-0.
Yeah, that's
win the right way.
That's really a shame.
It's embarrassing.
As Bill Parcells famously once said, you are what your record says you are.
Patriots are a 2-0 football team and about to be 3-0.
There you go. And that's it. So, Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Love your insight. Love the quality stats. What are you been doing for the game this weekend? You have anything special planned? You're baking a pig? Or I know you do
know
some
what?
Crazy
doing
tailgates.
I'm doing a pig roast Saturday.
Ooh,
you're
for
all
what?
Invited. Patriots Nation is invited.
Where's that going to take place?
Well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't reveal that. you know what? We'll be in Westwood, Massachusetts, right off of Route 1, right up the street from the stadium, roasting pigs and celebrating Americana and football and everything that's great. about our national past, about what is our new national pastime has been for a long time.
I like that.
We're going to have a good time, guys. We love football, love celebrating football, and love listening to you guys on Patriots.com, too.
Thanks, Kerry. We appreciate it, and have fun with that pig this weekend.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Take care.
Kerry nailed it on the head. Bill, the caller. Was it Dave?
I don't know.
The guy that had the rant, he said the same thing. We're winning ugly, but who cares? We're winning. You know,
right.
I don't care about the sexy offense stuff. I think it bodes very well for the Patriots. They are my Super Bowl pick, Bill. Remember?
I know.
I'm not just saying that on Patriots Nation, and we do other radio and other media, and that's been my pick. And I love the fact that they're winning ugly now because they're going to have some more offense here soon. They'll be able to win ugly. They'll be able to win in a shootout. And there are just are very few teams in their way when it comes time for the playoffs. As long as they're relatively healthy in the playoffs, Bill, Patriots are going to be a tough out.
Yeah, I'm very surprised that through all of this Patriots talk, our producer, Kevin Collins, has been relatively very quiet.
Pac-Man. He's been doing Pac-Man sound bites.
Oh, he's playing Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Got to do something.
Well, Kev, well, let's hear what you think. I mean, are Patriot fans a little bit spoiled at this point? You guys are 2-0. Should you be stepping back from the ledge?
I would think so. I mean, if there's a lot of teams that would probably kill to be 2-0. Look at teams like Tampa Bay. Look at teams like Minnesota that have lost heartbreakers. You know, both losses heartbreakers. I don't think we have a whole lot to complain about considering the health of the team right now. So that's just my take.
We'll tell you what's going to be interesting, guys, is I think they'll beat the Bucks. The Bucks are teetering on the ledge right now.
And you know what? I think that they can beat the Bucks without Amendola, without Gronk.
Agreed. But here's where I'm going with this, Kevin. The next 3 weeks, they might need some offense.
Oh, absolutely. I think it would serve them well, Todd, to rest Gronk and Amendola another week. And like when you head into that gauntlet starting with Atlanta, that's when you want to try to be at your best.
Right. Offensively, at least.
Yes, offensively.
And defensively.
Yeah, I mean, despite the fact Atlanta, they lost like 5 starters, right, last week or something like that, ridiculous amount of starters they lost to injury.
With the Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to be banged up as well when the Patriots head in there a week from this Sunday. I think that's a national television. I think that's the Sunday night game.
Kevin, ooh, that should be a good one.
Kevin, all right. Bucks this week, at Atlanta, at Cincinnati, Saints at home.
Those are three tough ones, and then I think it's at the Jets after that, which
it is
not going to be a cupcake either. So there's
going into the Jets
teams.
Game, Kev. Would you sign up for 4-2 right now?
Absolutely. Show me where to sign.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely. Especially, you know, I mean, we saw what we could get out of Amendola in that Week 1 game against Buffalo, but you don't know what he's going to look like after this ordeal he's gone through, and you don't know. You know, all we've seen, or most people have seen, is Gronk in shorts so far. You know, I'd like to think that he's close to 100% in the player that he once was. But, you know, the guy had, like, what, 5 surgeries? I mean, you don't know what you're really getting. You're really not going to know what he's capable of until he suits up and puts the pads on and takes a couple hits. So, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty swirling around this team. So, you know, if you told me we're going to go through 6 games and they're going to be 4-2 and, you know, that would mean they're like, you know, 2-0 in the division, I mean, I would take it. Especially, I mean, Todd, if you lose games, say they lose to the Falcons, it's not going to be a super killer because it's not only not a divisional loss, but it's not a conference loss, which
exactly.
is huge.
Exactly. 3 of the next 4 are NFC.
Yeah, so, games. I mean, if you lose to the Falcons, if you lose to the Saints, it's not as painful as losing to some of these conference opponents, like a Houston or something like that.
Right.
I agree.
It's not as – I mean, and when you look at the whole AFC and the jumble that I think it is, I don't think there's a ton of great teams. I think the NFC is far and away the better conference. But when you look at these teams, I mean, other than Denver, the rest of the whole AFC, I mean, it's not that pretty. So I think that you could see a ton of teams that are kind of log-jammed with like 10, 11 wins as opposed to the years where, you know, the Patriots, the Colts of old, the Denver of now would win 13, 14 games, and it would take you, you know, at least 12 wins to be in the bye conversation. I don't think that's going to be the case this year.
Kevin, any thoughts on the Trent Richardson trade? Does it affect you as a Patriots fan at all?
Not really. I mean, we play Cleveland this year, so it'll be nice not to have to tackle them. We host Cleveland. We do not play the Colts, I don't believe. Nope. So that's a little bit of a favor. And also, it makes the Colts stronger when they play Houston a couple times. So, I mean, that could be a good thing. They're in the same division.
Right.
You're going to want – I mean, I think we all agree that going into the season, we all had pretty much Houston as a, you know, a playoff team and potentially winning that division.
Sure.
So, you know, that might create a little bit more parity in that division. And, you know, if Indy can beat Houston a time or two, that could definitely help the Patriots coming down the home stretch in terms of the seeding. But the, other than that, there's pretty much no impact. I mean, it's a little bit of a bummer for me. I liked Trent Richardson in college. I thought he was a great player. I was kind of looking forward to seeing him come here and getting to watch him run in person.
Right.
But other than that, it doesn't really affect us.
What if you have to see him run in person in January?
I mean, that could affect us. Here's the thing. This trade obviously makes me like the Colts better. But I was
it doesn't
not,
hurt them. It
no,
can't hurt
no,
them.
No, but I was not their biggest fan, needless to say, coming into the season. I didn't think that they were built to win that division or really compete and be a contender for, like, let's say an AFC championship game. I thought, you know, could they get into the playoffs? Yes. Could they maybe win a game? Yes. But other than that, I didn't really see them going anywhere.
So long term, I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but it's fun. This is radio. Do you see a potential changing of the guard? I mean, the Colts, they're so young on offense, and they're all like second-year guys. They're going to be around for a long time.
I mean, when you look at when Peyton hangs him up mm-hmm. and when Brady hangs him up, and, you know, that's probably closer than people think. I mean, a lot of people think they're going to play till they're 40-plus, but to be honest with you, the way that they – you know, their current respective ages, I think Brady's like, what, 36 and Manning's 37 or 38?
Yeah.
Anything you get, every year you get of these guys, I mean, is gravy from here on in my book.
Right.
Because you're just one hit or one 300-pounder falling on them away from them breaking something and ending their career. Because, you know, if Peyton, you know, got hit the right way again and had to have another neck, you know, he's not going to want to sit out another year and then, you know, try to come back at age 39 or whatever. I think that I could definitely see that Andrew Luck-led offense, especially with that combination of Luck and Richardson, you know, two guys that were, what, top three picks, top five picks or whatever
yep.
the hell they were. It's hard to argue that when Peyton leaves, when Tom leaves, that could be your offense. You know, that could be the model franchise of the AFC. That, you know, that guard could be passed to them. I find it hard to argue against.
I'll throw another team in that loop, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, agree. I'm not a big Dalton guy, but I'm coming around on him a little bit. But I'm not a huge Dalton guy. I think Luck is worlds ahead of Dalton.
Do you put Ryan Tannehill in that same kind of category
no.
with the Dolphins?
I don't, but that's just
no.
I'm not high on Tannehill. I haven't been but here's the thing. I go off of what I've seen, you know, in terms of when the Patriots play them. He may look better or worse or whatever. I don't watch a ton of Dolphins games outside of when, and to be fair, like, they haven't really been relevant. This year could be different. This year could
right.
change that.
Right, right.
But no, I'm not a big Tannehill guy. I think that what Luck showed last year is far and away better than the product, you know, Tannehill or Dalton showed in their first couple years. So I don't know. I have a hard time putting the Dolphins led by Tannehill or the Bengals led by Dalton in that Andrew Luck Colts that 1-2 combo, guys. I mean, that's something. I mean,
all right, forget the 1-2 combo. It's just the one combo. Just
yeah,
having
yeah.
Luck. I'm a true believer in Luck. I think he's going to be a top three quarterback for the next decade.
And especially, you know, Luck is not RG3 here, guys. I'm not making him out to be RG3, but the guy can make plays. He can get outside. I mean,
very underrated as an athlete.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Bill, 100%. I mean, you look at a guy, a fatty like Ben Roethlisberger, still moves around. I mean, now Luck.
It's funny because he's fat.
Yeah, and Luck is a far better athlete. And, I mean, I think there's a lot of possibilities with that offense. And then you add, like, a true bruising workhorse, you know, game-changing back.
A lot of options.
That's really, really young as well. I mean, There's at least on the offensive side of the ball. They're a franchise that's set up to succeed for the next 10 years, you know?
Bill, I think if you gave the Colts offense the Bengals defense, you'd have a real tough out.
Yeah.
One more AFC team up and coming. I'm going to throw it out there. Let me know if you think Alex Smith is too old, the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't think he's too old. Go ahead, Todd. I'll let you.
What's the question?
I mean, I don't think
he's... Do you think they're in the same conversation as the Bengals? Really?
No.
So, I disagree with you there. So I think they're right there.
So I'm buying into the Chiefs mainly because of Andy Reid. I think he was I don't know if he was like chased. Todd, you can explain this better with your Philadelphia roots. But I think Andy Reid's a good coach. I've always respected him, and I think, you know, do I think Alex Smith is the future of that franchise?
Probably. He'll be 30 years old in May.
No, he's not, though. I agree with you there, Todd, but I think that he's definitely capable enough of getting that team to the playoffs.
Oh, sure. Oh.
Well, I'm talking long-term, not just talking this year.
I don't see him as...
No.
You know what? I could see the Chiefs within the next year or two drafting a quarterback to start grooming... You know, for, we'll say, 3-4 years down the road. I mean,
once Peyton Manning leaves, division is wide open.
Reed's in a good spot here. If he can win 10 games or something like that the next couple of years and, you know, make a playoff appearance or two, win a playoff game, kind of change that culture a little bit, get people buying in, make Kansas City again like a tough place to play, a better destination for free agents. And you know what? Alex Smith, he can be that guy that bridges the gap between for 3-4 years probably. I'll give you that, but I don't think he's the guy that's going to be like the franchise quarterback. That's just my take.
Okay,
Bill's all in on the Chiefs.
But I agree with you. The Chiefs are now a viable threat and a tough team to play, and they're definitely a threat to get in the playoffs. I will give you that.
I think their defense is so underrated. They have the pieces to rush the passer. And they have the pieces to stop the pass in their secondary.
And you know, we talk often about how tough it is to play in Seattle.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs keep winning, Arrowhead, you can throw, maybe not quite as tough as Seattle, but Arrowhead's one of the toughest places to play in the league.
Right.
And it used to be back in the day when they were, you know, a really good team. I mean, people hated going in there. So, hey, you know, that could be another factor.
Quick off topic here. You're speaking of Seattle. Todd, you'll appreciate this. The original 12th man, Texas A&M, College Station, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the license plate, the 12th man, Texas A&M license plate? $125,000?
It's ridiculous.
Is that absurd?
If you spend a lot of time in Texas,
that's just, you know,
people are crazy down there.
I know that's way off topic, but since we're talking about Seattle, my brain, 12th man, and then Texas.
Nice transition.
Thank you. Anyway, speaking of transitions, we're going to take a break here, but you know what? Plenty of emails to get to. We want to help everyone with their fantasy football lineups for week 3. You can give us a call, 855-728-7500. Email webradio@patriots.com. That's what's coming up next here on Football Nation. You're listening to the Patriots.com radio.
Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. That's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
FFChamps! Win your fantasy league and your trophy too. It's FFChamps! FFChamps for you. News, advice, rankings, and expert advice too. FFChamps is for you.
FFChamps.com, ensuring you win from draft to playoffs. FFChamps.com, extraordinary results for fantasy football dominance.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Here's a dose of fantasy football from FFChamps.com.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Bill and I, Todd DeVries, our esteemed producer, Kevin Collins, hanging out with us. Yes, it is time for some fantasy football lineup advice. We are heading into week three, so if you have a question, you don't know who to start, you can give us a call, 855-728-7500, 855-PATS-500. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com, which is where we are going to start taking some fantasy advice. We have Mike in the city, in New York City, has a bad feeling about starting, or excuse me, Todd, he has a bad feeling about sitting Kembrell Tompkins because he's afraid that once he sits him, he's going to have a huge week and he's going to leave points on the bench. He also has Giovanni Bernard and Stevie Johnson. Which one do you think our friend Mike from New York City should go with here?
We don't have any...
Scoring information.
Scoring information. I'm not feeling Tompkins. Are you?
No, I'm not.
But who would you play in his place? I mean, Gio Bernard, we're very high on him. In a month from now, Bill, Gio Bernard's going to be in everybody's lineups all the time. But
I kind of like Bernard this week against the Packers.
I like him, but it still scares me that he can't get to double-digit touches in a game.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I mean, you're kind of banking on him breaking one. And that he's obviously very capable of that. But you saw what they did against the Steelers, Bill. He had a couple touchdowns, which was outstanding. Mm-hmm. But most of the fourth quarter, they just gave it to the law firm to milk the clock.
Right.
In this game, you figure they're not going to be milking the clock against the Packers, most likely. Right?
I doubt it.
They might need some playmakers. And Gio, you would think, might get a few more swing passes than last week. He only caught one ball each of the first two games, I believe.
Yeah, you'd think that he would be more involved in a passing game because we know Ben Jarvis Green Ellis isn't like a big-time playmaker out of the backfield catching passes.
Here, the bottom line is this. We're very impatient as fantasy owners. We can't understand why they aren't giving this guy the ball more. That's basically the bottom line, right?
Right.
We all can see it. Everyone can see it. There's obviously a reason Marvin Lewis is bringing him along slowly. Maybe it's because he needs to work on his pass protection and the blocking schemes and all that. That's probably what it is, right?
Yep.
So it's only a matter of time. So you're thinking him over Stevie J.
Against the Jets, absolutely.
Against the Jets. I don't like that matchup at all.
Nope.
And Tompkins, yeah, he hasn't come through yet.
It just seems like Mike is ready to sit Tompkins. I'm not going to play Tompkins just because I'm worried that if I don't play him, he's going to have his best game of the year. I try not to think like that. You'll drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to go Gio here, and you know, he's so dynamic, Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Giovanni Bernard, too. Let's move over to who's next on the email list. We got another Mike. This one, Mike in, well, we don't know where he's from. Love the show. Going to be an FF Champ subscriber. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate hearing that. His lineup is Matthew Stafford, Doug Martin, Stephen Ridley, Calvin Johnson. Nice combo there with Stafford and Johnson. Mike Wallace, Jared Cook, DeMarco Murray. He's got the Pats D and Phil Dawson as his kicker. Should he make changes?
So this week's lineup. Okay.
Right. So he also has Marquise Colston, Jordy Nelson on the bench. Do you like Colston or Nelson ahead of Calvin Johnson or Mike Wallace?
Well, obviously Stafford and Calvin Johnson are against the Redskins. You have to play them. Okay. And end of story.
I like Nelson over Mike Wallace.
That's the thing. The wide receiver two position, he's got Mike Wallace there now. And you could upgrade that with Jordy Nelson.
And I might like Bernard Pierce over Stephen Ridley if Ray Rice doesn't play.
Agreed. Well, how about the flex? Would you bump out DeMarco?
Oh, DeMarco Murray, yes. I would absolutely bump out DeMarco Murray.
Right. So we'll keep Ridley, bump Murray, and put in Pierce if Rice doesn't play.
Exactly.
I like how you put Royale with cheese in here, Bill. Did you see that?
Royale with cheese. Oh, he must have been listening on Tuesday.
Yes.
All right.
Next, I like it. Michael question. W. Nice
I
stuff.
Like that. Good stuff. He's going to be an FF Champ subscriber next year.
He has
year.
A strong team, by the way. Seriously. He has a very strong team. Look at him. He's too deep everywhere. He's got Jordan Cameron as backup tight end.
Nice.
Andrew Luck, backup quarterback.
Got to like that.
Nice work.
Next emailer is Salt in Orlando. He says, hey, guys, I need help setting my fantasy football lineup 10-team standard scoring. First of all, thanks for the advice. I picked up Eddie Royale with cheese off waivers and traded him for Stephen Ridley. Wow.
Nice.
Oh, man, that's a great move. Yeah, clap that one up. There, definitely. My line of position I need help with are running back two and flex. So his options right now, Trent Richardson, Lamar Miller, Stephen Ridley, Orange Julius, that's Julius Thomas from the Broncos, and Jordan Cameron from the Browns. So he had Trent Richardson and Jordan Cameron, both of the Browns, so he kind of got an upgraded situation here. He only has one player from the Browns right now. That's much better.
All right. First of all, tight end, I'm putting in Orange Julius.
Okay. That's
against the Raiders Monday night.
Right.
I don't know what's going on with the Browns quarterback. They got a guy named Hoyer throwing the ball.
Hoyer. Who,
Patriot fans are very familiar with Hoyer, correct?
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah. So I'm putting Orange Julius in tight end. End of story. Boom. Running back two, it comes down to Trent, Lamar, or Ridley.
Trent Richardson against the 49ers this week. I'm not downgrading him. I'm just a little skeptical. Just a little bit.
All right, so what are you going with?
I think I'm going with Ridley.
Okay.
Over Lamar and over Trent.
All right. There it is.
Makes sense to you.
And then his flex. So you see, now the beautiful thing is you still got a flex. So you could put one, of those running backs in the flex or Jordan Cameron.
I'm not
standard scoring, not PPR.
I'm not putting in Cameron. I'll tell you, I might say Lamar Miller over Stephen Ridley this week. I know that sounds
No. You just said Ridley was your RB2, so now it's Miller or Richardson.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm going with Miller over Richardson.
All right. So we're basically waiting and seeing on Trent Richardson in most scenarios.
Let's just see how much of the playbook he learns in such a short amount of time.
Bill, you said it earlier in the day to me. We were talking offline, and I mean, if Trent Richardson's in the game this week, he's probably running the ball. Like,
it's easy for the right. It's easy for the Niners to realize that he might not know what he needs to be responsible for on pass blocking situations. So whenever he's in the game, more than likely he's getting the football.
Because of that, they probably will limit his carries.
Right.
And yeah, so I mean, this is the 49ers teeing off on Andrew Luck. You have to protect them. This isn't, you know, this is some schmo defense.
Exactly.
So all right, so I'm with you on that. In most scenarios, especially, I mean, these are decent options, Lamar Miller and Stephen Ridley. So yeah, I'm with you on that one. Let's move on to the next emailer.
Okay, the next emailer is from Michael Schmidt. Hi, Bill and Todd. 8-team league, non-PPR. Injuries kind of messed up his starting lineup. I traded Vereen for Amendola from the waiver. I think I can pick up Vereen in week 9 or 10. All right, Jordy Nelson and Emmanuel Sanders are available. Should I grab one of these guys? Jordy Nelson's available, and he has Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Yes, that's a big-time upgrade at wide receiver. Three Colts players doesn't sit well with me. Trent Richardson shouldn't see much action this week. Who should I swap? So right now, Trent Richardson is in at his running back spot. He only has one. Ridley, that's the only option I can see here.
Yeah, put in Ridley.
All right, that was Mike from Denmark.
Did you do Matt Martin yet? Matthew M?
Where's that one at?
I got that one.
All right, what is it?
He's got a possible trade question for us, okay? He's in a 10-team league, half-point PPR, touchdowns worth 6 points. He's basically saying, should he trade Dwayne Bowe for Stephen Ridley? All right, he's got Vincent Jackson, Demaryius Thomas, and Dwayne Bowe, and Cecil Shorts and Josh Gordon are his wide receivers. He's got a lot of wide receivers. He thinks he can dish Dwayne Bowe for Ridley. Now, his running backs are Jamal Charles, Knowshon Moreno, MJD.
Who would his third wide receiver become? Or his second wide receiver, Shorts or Gordon?
His wide receivers, if he got rid of Bo, he'd have Demaryius Thomas as his wide receiver one, V-Jax as his two.
And Josh Gordon.
Cecil Shorts and Josh Gordon.
I make that move. I have high expectations for Ridley. As soon as this Patriots offense starts moving the football, which I know they will, once these receivers catch on, once Gronk's back, once Amendola's healthy, they're going to start moving the football. That's going to only do wonders for Ridley's fantasy value. So, yes, I'm making this trade.
I agree. He's got Moreno right now, and that's great. He has Moreno in his starting lineup, and he should. But I just don't see that lasting the season. So he needs to bolster that running back core. So I agree. I like the trade. Go ahead and do it, Matt.
I wonder if he can trade Moreno and Bo for whoever. I doubt Ridley is the number one running back on that team. Maybe it's LeSean McCoy. Maybe it's Adrian Peterson. You think Moreno and Bo can get a bigger running back game?
Good question. I mean, we're all about trading players Moreno. That we don't believe in and that their value will never be higher. And that is Moreno right now.
Absolutely.
We don't believe in him at all.
Yeah.
We love trading him if you can. That's a great point. Matt, if you're listening out there, see if you can dangle Moreno with Bo, package deal, and maybe get someone a little bit better than Ridley. If you can't, we still like the Bo for Ridley, one for one.
All right, let's take a break from the emails. Let's go over to the phone lines. 855-728-7500 is how you can reach us. Nathan in Southern California is patiently waiting. What's up, Nate? How's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, man. What do you got for us today?
So I just had some questions about receiver. I got burnt last week. I played Lacy, and he got me 1 point, and I sat DeSean Jackson.
Oh, dude, that's the worst.
It was a killer, but that's what happens sometimes. But anyway, I'm in a 10-team PPR league, and I was wondering who I could play for receiver. I have Edelman, Demaryius Thomas. I have DeSean Jackson, Mike Wallace, and Tavon Austin. And
oh, my God.
Playing Edelman, Jackson, and Demaryius Thomas, and then benching Wallace and then Tavon Austin. But I didn't want it to burn me like it did last week.
Is it PPR?
Yeah.
I mean, Bill, the only possible guy, you can't play Austin over those other four. So the question is Mike Wallace in
over
or out.
Edelman, right.
And Edelman is PPR, and Edelman's going to catch 10 balls again.
Right, so I think that's why Edelman has to stay in the lineup.
I think I make 25 points just on catches.
Right, and, exactly.
One yard a catch, I mean, that's an extra point. But anyway, it's just something that I could use feedback on because that's kind of what burned me last time.
Yeah, so listen, if it wasn't a PPR league, we would tell you to go Wallace over Edelman. But because you get a full point for one reception, Edelman's like a vacuum out there. Just Brady is just throwing him balls, and he's sucking them all up.
Yeah.
Which should not be taken out of any kind of context.
And you got burnt. You got very unlucky, as we all did with Eddie Lacy. He was in for a monster day.
Yeah.
You know, that's nothing. That's not a mistake on your part. That's just bad luck.
One other question I have for you guys is my tight end, Jermaine Gresham. He's not doing great, but he did okay last game. Tyler Eifert is on the waiver wire, and I could probably pick him up.
How about Colby Fleener?
I just checked, and he's swapped up already. So
damn.
Yeah.
Because Dwayne Allen just went out for the year with hip surgery, and Colby Fleener, in my mind, top 10 tight end right now.
He's the guy that has chemistry with Luck already, right?
Yes, he does.
Played together in college.
Yes, that is correct.
I looked at him. I heard you guys earlier, and I went to check on him right as I was on the line with you guys, and he got snagged up. But yeah, I guess that's another area. But Eifert, do you think I should just leave him there, or should I just stay status quo with Gresham?
Bill, rest of the way rankings at FFChamps.com. We have Gresham number 14. Mm-hmm. Rest of the way rankings for the rest of the year, and Eifert is 18. So they're right in the same. They're right in the same area,
neck and neck. And until one really emerges as either the red zone threat or who Dalton looks to on third down, they're probably going to stay that way. Gresham can have a great game one week, and then it could be Eifert the next week.
Okay.
Dynasty purposes, Eifert's the guy, obviously, because he's younger. But
yes.
It's a tough call when you're talking about two tight ends on the same team that kind of see the same amount of targets.
Yeah.
Owen Daniels, Greg Olsen, Martellus Bennett. I mentioned Colby Fleener. Those are kind of some tight ends that I like a little bit better than the two guys from the Bengals.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, obviously, like Bill just said, the Bengals have so many weapons. These two tight ends are basically a tight end by committee right now. And I don't see that changing as long as they're both healthy. That is exactly what Fleener was in with Dwayne Allen, but now Dwayne Allen's out for the year. Yeah. So now he's a quote-unquote workhorse tight end for the Colts.
Exactly.
By the way, just added Trent Richardson, which only helps the offense as well. So that's why we're much higher on Fleener than the other guys right now.
Nate, we appreciate the call. 855-728-7500 is our phone number. Todd, what do you say? We go back to the emails.
Absolutely. All right, Mark M. Bill, okay? Hey, guys, I have a few big season-changing trades coming up today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The biggest one involves a friend who is a diehard Colts fan in my league, and with the trade of Trent Richardson, his trade value in this context has skyrocketed.
Love it.
Because this guy's a Colts fan. He wants to fleece this guy, okay? So his current trade offer is this: Trent Richardson and David Wilson for D'Angelo Williams, DeAndre Hopkins, and Gronk.
Ew. Wait, is that... I was so excited, and that was just such a major letdown. Is that really the trade?
He had... This guy, our boy Mark, in Ontario, he has Trent, and he wants to get rid of him to the Colts fan. He wants to fleece this Colts fan.
He's not doing it with that trade. I mean,
D'Angelo Williams... I'm very disappointed. I'm very disappointed in when I was reading this. I was expecting something more than this.
Yeah, so was I. D'Angelo Williams might be one of the worst running back that has the job all to himself. I mean, there are a couple other running backs that are in a timeshare situation, and they do a little bit worse. But D'Angelo right now has that job all to himself, and he's doing nothing. So right. The fact that you're trying to trade for him makes no sense.
Here's the deal. It gets even worse.
Uh-oh.
All right, so he says,
any worse.
He says, well, first of all, he does say that the other guy has Chris Johnson, but he's unwilling to trade him.
All right.
After that, he says that his team, Mark in Ontario, he's already loaded at tight end. He has Gates and Olsen, and he's loaded at wide receiver, so he doesn't really need Gronk or Hopkins.
Well, what the hell is he doing his trade?
I totally agree.
What the hell is going on out there?
Here's the deal, Mark. If you've got a guy who perhaps you might be able to trade, you know, trading with his heart, right, Bill?
What the hell are you guys up to now?
Oh, jeez.
That was not Vince Lombardi.
From the grave, it might have been. What was that?
What was that, Kev?
Just an old guy.
What do you have the Vince Lombardi?
I don't think I have any Lombardi now.
Play that one again.
What the hell are you guys up to now?
Sounds like my grandfather when I'm playing poker. He used to walk into my poker room. What the hell is going on? That's a little
Vince
Lombardi.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Yeah. All right. No, Lombardi. The impression I was doing was Vince Lombardi. What the hell is going on out there?
You're overmodulating, Bill.
Yeah, whatever. That
I have no eardrums left now.
Well, Kevin, turn down my levels, dude. You know my voice goes up and down like Austin Powers when he
really
wakes up.
You're really low.
All right. I don't know what to tell you, dude. I can't control the volume of my voice.
Halfway down further than what I have, Todd.
Sometimes I get very excited, and sometimes after reading this trade, I'm like, you know.
Here's the deal. Can I get back to this guy? We got to help him out.
Yeah, this poor guy.
Here's the deal. You have Trent. This guy wants Trent. He might not be saying it. He might be saying, I'm not going to give you Chris Johnson. Whatever. He wants Trent. He's a Colts fan. You put together something, a much better package than this. Deny this trade request. Exit out of there. Get it off your screen and come up with something better.
Even if he puts in Chris Johnson for D'Angelo Williams, I'm still not doing this deal.
No.
What happens if David Wilson just blows up the rest of the year? What happened if Trent Richardson is a top five back for the rest of the season?
This doesn't make any sense.
No. Awful trade. Dude, I don't know what's going on up there in Canada, but this down here in America where the game's played, that trade sucks.
Yes. Hold on to Trent unless you can get something incredible in return because this guy's a Colts fan.
I have until 10 p.m. tonight to pull the trigger on this trade. Do you think it's worth it? No.
Right.
So much for your major trade day, dude. I hate to burst your bubble, but it's not happening.
All right. Next one, Bill, is Dan B. Dan in Virginia.
All right.
Dan, he wholeheartedly agrees with you, Bill, that it all starts with the front office.
Oh, of course.
Pats fans always laud Belichick and Brady, as they should, but living in the suburbs of D.C., where Dan Snyder owns the Redskins, I see how the Pats' success begins with Robert Kraft. See,
that's
he knows.
Right. He knows.
Begins at the top. To answer Todd's query, he said he used the word query. That's kind of interesting. The trade raises Indianapolis a little more as a threat. I guess he's not too worried about the Colts with our non-fantasy question. Okay.
Right. Okay.
He thinks it's just the Broncos, and even then, Bill Belichick knows how to play Peyton Manning and the Broncos. So he's not terribly – it sounds like he thinks the Patriots are making a beeline for the Super Bowl in New York, Bill.
I think Dan in VA is actually our Australian friend.
Okay.
Remember he called in a couple weeks ago and you were, you know, you wanted to get to his question. I was like, wait, are you Australian? I see that accent because he opens the email with g'day, champs. Not many people –
g'day.
You know, yeah, g'day, which I might just start opening up the show like that. Good day, Bill Enright here. This is Football Nation with Todd DeVries. Good day, mate.
Well,
Todd,
Australian mate has some fantasy questions to go along. I'm glad he answered my query, but now it's time for some fantasy stuff, Bill. So
all right,
I'm
going to
drop these on you. Should he drop Carson Palmer as a backup QB and add either Sam Bradford or Matty Schaub?
No. Palmer, that offense throws a lot.
Should he drop MJD for Joik Bell?
Does he have Reggie Bush?
Does not say.
No.
Should he drop Mike Williams to add Leonard Hankerson, Jerome Simpson, or Doug Baldwin?
No.
Should he drop Jermaine Gresham to add Charles Clay?
No.
Should he drop Phil Dawson This is a kicker, question.
That's all right.
No, keep Phil Dawson and keep the Bengals defense.
Yes.
Every single one of your questions is no.
The only one I would reconsider is maybe the Gresham for Charles Clay. Let's see what he does this week. I understand that it might be too late, but at least we know with Gresham, he is partially involved.
And what was your answer to dropping MJD for Joik?
No. Unless he has MJ, unless he has Reggie Bush.
Okay. And then he ends his email saying, hopefully this won't give you a headache.
No, no. Oh, was that who gave me a headache the other day?
Yes.
Oh, it was. That was a tough one the other day, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Wrote us a four-page novel.
Yes, this was much better. This was much better organized.
Clean and very easy to read. It wasn't like getting through an Ernest Hemingway novel. So, yes, good job, Dan and VA.
All right.
How do you say goodbye? You say good day.
Well, good day, mate.
You say goodbye? Good. All right.
Aloha means goodbye. Same thing in Australia. Good day means goodbye.
Vaya con Dios.
All right. This is Matt in Medway.
Bill. All right. What do we got, Matt?
This is a defensive question. I know you love your defense questions. Yeah. Okay. Standard league. Defense is an afterthought to me. Do I go with Philly or Buffalo? I need to know soon, so let me know.
All right. Well, we'll let you know as soon as we get to your email.
He needs to know soon. Give him the answer, Bill.
All right. Right now, we have the Eagles as, I don't even know where they are in this list.
Not good.
Our 27th ranked defense this week. Buffalo, on the other hand, is 17th. So unless you're in like a 14-team league, you need to make some upgrades on your defensive front. Miami Dolphins, St. Louis Rams, I don't know, hey, the Arizona Cardinals, all those guys, all those defenses are better than the Eagles and the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, the Bills are playing the Jets. Go with the Bills. No brainer.
If it's just for this week, yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah. Just, that's it. Even if it's for the long run, you can't take the Eagles defense. Trust me, they're terrible.
All right.
Awful. Is that all the emails? Did we motor through them?
I have one more here from Bill and Todd. 2 weeks into the season, I already find myself behind the eight ball. I'm 0-2 and starting to worry. I'm in a 10-team non-PPR league, and through injury, have my RB position decided for me. No idea what that sentence means. However, I'm having trouble picking two wide receivers. Dude, I'm having trouble reading your email. Having trouble picking two wide receivers and one flex from this group. Steve Smith, Julian Edelman, Hakeem Nicks, James Jones, Greg Jennings, Chris Givens, DeAndre Hopkins, Bernard Pierce. Also, do you think I need to try to make a trade to get a real number one receiver or just keep making do with this group of hacks and hope my depth prevails over the course of the season? Matt at SDSU. San Diego State University?
South Dakota State?
I hope it's San Diego State. I met this girl in Vegas she was a water polo player from San Diego State. Oh, my God. Very strong legs. That's all I have to say. It was just incredible how strong her legs were.
I thought Kevin had some sort of soundbite for that. But
well, you think about it. Water polo players, you know, they're constantly moving around. They're treading water. Just very strong legs. I was very impressed. Very impressive. But anyway, back to his question. He needs help. He needs help with a wide receiver.
Want to touch the honey?
Yeah, man. She was special. She was special. I was at the Four Seasons in Las Vegas. I was there by myself. I just turned 21, and I was at the pool. They have, like, a private pool at the Four Seasons, separate from, like, that big beach they have at the Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
And I think I was at the gym that morning, and she was on the treadmill, and we kind of, like, you know, smiled at each other or whatever. I was laying out by the pool. There was no one there. She just came, sat right next to me.
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it.
Yeah, and it was a good time. So my advice to Matt is twofold. One, if you're at San Diego State University and not South Dakota State University, find yourself a female water polo player. And then two, your wide receiver situation here, I think you're okay as far as you don't need a number one. Listen, Hakeem Nicks, James Jones, Steve Smith, they're all capable of putting up wide receiver one type numbers on any given week.
So, should make Cox bigger.
There you go. Unless you're trying to maybe package, I don't know, Todd, Greg Jennings and Steve Smith, you think you can get a wide receiver if you package those guys together?
I'm very distracted after that
story. I just had a stroke.
All right, here's his wide receivers. Let me run through them again. Steve
Smith.
You
want to make $5 the hard way?
So bad. Steve Smith, Julian Edelman, Hakeem Nicks, James Jones, Greg Jennings, Chris Givens, DeAndre Hopkins are his wide receivers.
Okay.
He's feeling that he doesn't really have a true number one.
He's correct.
Does he package Steve Smith and Greg Jennings, and can he go out and get maybe a Wes Welker?
No. Who in God's name wants Steve Smith and Greg Jennings?
All right. So who does he have to get rid of? James Jones and Hakeem Nicks?
He wants to find a one. Yes. Why not package Edelman now while he's worth something? Because in a couple weeks, he won't be worth a damn thing.
Good idea. Edelman and who?
It's non-PPR. So James Jones has big value. I like DeAndre Hopkins in a non-PPR. I like Nicks in a non-PPPR. How about Givens and Edelman?
Givens and Edelman? Who can you possibly get? You think you can get Pierre Garçon?
How about Jennings? Jennings is still a big name. Maybe the guy on the other end's an idiot.
Julian Edelman and James Jones?
Why not? No.
All right.
No. Jennings.
Oh, I said Jennings before. You said who wants Jennings?
I'm distracted by all the Kevin soundbites.
All right.
Jennings is a big name who's crap.
Right. Edelman is a big name right now who's playing well.
Yes. Try to see what you can get for those two guys.
I agree.
You probably won't get much. You might have to go back and upgrade maybe Edelman and Steve Smith or something. I don't know.
Pick two of these wide receivers for this week. Steve Smith, Edelman, Nicks, Jones, Jennings, Givens, Hopkins. To me it's Steve Smith and Hakeem Nicks. We don't know if it's PPR or not. Maybe that would make a difference.
It's not PPR. Yeah, Nicks is in.
Steve Smith's in. And then Bernard Pearson to flex.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the play,
yeah. I think we're all caught up on emails. Right now, the phone lines are open, so you can give us a ring, 855-728-7500. Web radio at patriots.com. Some last-minute fantasy football tips and advice coming up right after the break.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
FF Chats! Win your fantasy league and your trophy too. It's FF Chats. FF Chats for you. News, advice, rankings, and expert advice too. FF Chats is for you.
FFChamps.com, ensuring you win from draft to playoffs. FFChamps.com, extraordinary results for fantasy football dominance.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Football Nation, there is no off-season.
Welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you for about another 10 minutes on Patriots.com radio. Big matchup for the Pats as they're taking on the Buccaneers, trying to go 3-0 here in Week 3. Some other teams around the league, Todd, not as fortunate, but there is a pretty good game tonight, Thursday Night Football, with the Chiefs and the Eagles that we were talking about earlier. I'm expecting a lot of offense. You're kind of maybe not going in with that same train of thought.
Well, if you put me on the spot, I mean, I would hope there'd be a lot of offense. I don't think Chip Kelly knows any other way to play. We saw that last week, Bill. If you watched that Eagles Chargers game, he didn't manage the clock well at all at the end of the game. He was just trying to score as fast as possible, you know. And instead of kind of milking the clock and kicking a field goal at the end to tie it, he basically just ran as many plays as possible, kicked the field goal, and there was still plenty of time for the Chargers to go back down and then kick the game-winning field goal. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
So he just has one speed, and it is fifth gear all the time. I'm just saying that these Thursday night games have been really wacky in past years and, quite frankly, have been very disappointing from a fantasy perspective. And it's not only in the NFL, Bill. I follow the college game very closely as well. You see it all the time, Thursday night disappointments in the college game as well. So these short weeks mess with these teams' schedules and chemistry, I guess, you know?
Kevin, have you heard anything from Coach Belichick or maybe Brady when they were discussing their preparation? It's a little bit different for the Jets because they're in the division and they've seen them so many times. But what do they kind of say about preparing for these Thursday night games?
I don't think Kevin is there.
Oh,
Mr.
awesome.
Bill. I think Kevin had enough and he walked out of the studio. Right.
Probably is trying to check San Diego State University water polo team.
Yeah, he's Googling right now. His hands are tied up.
Yeah, I bet. We do have an email to get to from Dan Martin. He emailed us earlier. Now he's starting to think about Trent Richardson not being a good play this week, especially if Reggie Bush is questionable. So right now he has Jimmy Graham at the tight end spot. He also has Julius Thomas from the Broncos, Todd. Would he be smart if he traded Julius Thomas for Bernard Pierce of the Baltimore Ravens? You think that's a good trade?
I have to know about it.
He has Jimmy Graham.
Right. Does he have a flex position?
It seems like he has Reggie Bush and Trent Richardson.
I'm just saying, does he play with the flex where he can play two tight ends if he has to?
I'm not sure. Right now it just says that he's looking for a number two running back.
Okay.
because he's nervous Reggie Bush isn't playing.
I don't know. I don't know if I like Julius Thomas or Bernard Pierce.
I don't think Ray Rice's injury is going to keep him out.
Yeah.
Maybe even this week. And if it does, maybe it's just a one-week thing.
I mean, does he have Ray Rice?
He doesn't say.
If he has Ray Rice, then maybe there's some value there.
Right.
Get the handcuff, you know? So then you're set, no matter what. You're set with the running back, you know, in Baltimore. I don't know about that. That doesn't seem right to me. Again, the deal is he's got Jimmy Graham. So if he can't play a tight end in the flex,
then Julius Thomas is just wasting space.
He's expendable. And let's be honest, if Jimmy Graham gets hurt, then you're screwed anyway, kind of.
Right.
You know? There's a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of ifs, a lot of questions for him. Straight up, I don't do the deal. If you can't play a tight end in the flex, then maybe I do the deal. What the hell?
All right, so since we are talking about Ray Rice and Reggie Bush, Todd, what do you say we kind of go over the injury report as we're heading into week three, just a few days from Sunday's action, and obviously the Thursday night game is just a few hours away as we're broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio.
All right, let's start with the quarterbacks, Bill. Your favorite fantasy stud, Blaine Gabbert.
That's right, on all of my teams.
Yes.
Heavy sarcasm.
Yes, he's out.
Are
Moving
you sure?
on. How about Brandon Whedon, another fantasy superstar?
Sign him up.
He's ruled out for week three. Tanking for Teddy, those Browns.
Such
they don't
shame.
Like old man Whedon. Whedon's career just got started, and it's already on the end. It's on the tail end of his career. That's what happens when you're like 48 years old and get drafted.
Whedon and Gabbert, such a shame not being able to use them in my fantasy lineups for week three.
Well, here's the one that we need to get serious about, Bill. How about Tony Romo?
Ooh, you're right.
Okay, this guy is a low-end starting quarterback in fantasy circles.
Right.
Hurt his ribs against the Giants in week one.
He did.
We still don't really know the extent of his injury, other than he's taking pain-killing injections.
Sounds serious.
Before the games. So here's the thing, man. Rib injuries don't exactly go away when you're playing this sport every week.
Especially at the quarterback spot, because I kind of feel like he's constantly moving around that side of his body when he's going through that throwing motion.
Yeah. This is a big concern. And it could go in a million directions. He could get used to, if he doesn't continue to aggravate it too badly, he could, you know, conceivably play through this and just kind of get used to it and be fine. Or it could get worse. I mean, we don't know. And we're not gonna find out. The Cowboys said remember when he got hit? They said, oh, he's fine, got the wind knocked out of him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, the wind and a few perhaps cracked bones to go along with it. We'll never know until the season's over exactly what his injury is. So this is worth monitoring, Bill. This could go either way with Romo.
So these pain injections are just to help him recover from getting the wind knocked out of him?
Yeah, it's kind of like just oxygen, really.
Right, good. Good. Glad we're on the same page on that one. Thanks.
Running backs. Let's go to the running backs. There's a lot of them, Bill. Steven Jackson is ruled out for week three with a thigh injury, and he could be out longer than that.
Jaquizz Rodgers, good in the PPR. Jason Snelling, good in non-PPR.
Yeah. Good is, I don't know if I did so far, go as far as to say good.
Decent if you really need running backs.
In this day and age, with all the injuries we're about to talk about, yeah, they're decent plays. You know, they're a committee, unfortunately.
Right.
But there's a chance that Jackson could be out 2, 3, 4 weeks. So you're going to see a lot of Rodgers and Snelling in the next couple weeks. Reggie Bush, Bill, he hasn't been cleared by team doctors yet, as far as we know. Was he cleared in the last couple hours since we've been on the air? I'm not sure.
Not that I can tell.
Yeah, so if you were smart and handcuffed Reggie Bush with Joik Bell, Joik Bell's an outstanding play, Bill. I mean, if Reggie Bush, like they say, he's not going to play, where is Bell ranked this week in the FF Champs running back list on the FFCPI?
Assuming that Bush doesn't play?
Yeah, what if hypothetical, the Lions come out right now and say Bush isn't playing, we're going to arrest him?
Well, we have Reggie Bush at 12. The Redskins' defense, worst in the league. We have Joik Bell at 25, assuming Bush plays. If Bush were to be out, I would think Bell becomes the top 15 wide receiver, running back.
All right, so he moves up to 12, 13, 14, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Another guy that we're not sure about if he's going to play or not is Ray Rice. We talked about him a lot this show. He's questionable with a hip flexor. He hasn't practiced. He did not practice today. Bernard Pierce, another good handcuff right there.
He certainly is, and the same kind of situation with Reggie Bush and Droyke Bell. If Ray Rice was not playing, Bernard Pierce would become maybe a top 15 back as well.
Moving on to the Packers, Eddie Lacy got knocked out on his first carry last week, which was a darn shame because he was going to have a monster week. James Stark has been announced as the starter. Eddie Lacy, you have some strong opinions on James Stark. He was a hot pickup in everybody's league, Bill. What's your opinion on James Stark moving forward?
I'm just not feeling it for a few reasons, one of which, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are pass-first offense. Yes, we saw James Stark light up the Washington Redskins, but as I said before, their defense sucks. They're the worst in the NFL. So, of course, James Stark had a good game against them. Now they're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, who have an excellent front four, a really good core of linebackers, very tough to run against. I'm a little concerned about James Starks for this week. The Packers then have a bye in week 4, and then Eddie Lacy's coming back in week 5. So for all those dopes out there that didn't listen to us on Tuesday, they picked up James Starks as their first waiver claim. They blew their waiver priority for a guy that's going to play against a tough defense, only get one start, and then lose his job once Eddie Lacy comes back in week 5.
Tell you what, Bill, it's been a rough season for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but some good news potentially at the running back and tight end spot. Le'Veon Bell returned to practice this week, their rookie running back from Michigan State. Limited basis. He says he's in healing mode, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But at least he's back out in the practice field. And Heath Miller, Big Ben's favorite receiver for the last couple of years, really, if you really break it down, it's his security blanket. He's been practicing this week, and he may play in week 3. What do you think about that?
I think Le'Veon Bell, even when healthy, is not going to have a whole lot of running room because their offensive line is in trouble. And I think it is good that Ben Roethlisberger is getting Heath Miller back because that offense is missing some kind of playmaker, and it just might be a tight end in Heath Miller.
Yeah, I mean, it's good news for the Steelers. It's the only way to put it. They've had such bad luck, and perhaps they get two playmakers back in the mix. We'll see. Wide receivers quickly, Bill. Larry Fitz, he wants to practice, but he's been held out due to a hamstring. It sounds like he's going to try to play on Sunday. Roddy White, the Falcons, he missed practice because of an ankle injury. He's not 100%, and, you know, if he's out there, Bill, he's really not very effective. And then Andre Johnson, another big name at the wide receiver position. He's in the final stages of concussion recovery protocol. They think he's going to play on Sunday. Final thoughts on those three wide receivers?
Starting Larry Fitzgerald and Andre Johnson, if they're both active, obviously. Even if Roddy White is declared active, he's staying on my fantasy football bench.
Nice. We got through it. We got through the injury reports right at the as the show ends here, Bill.
That is why we're professionals, Todd. We can fit in female water polo and in NFL fantasy football injury report. That's just how good we are.
Yes, we are very efficient, and timeliness is key, especially
yes, absolutely.
With you, Bill.
We want to thank our producer, Kevin Collins. Excellent job today with all the sound clips and his insight on the New England Patriots and the battle in the AFC. Want to thank all of our emailers, all of our callers, all of our audience members. Kerry Byrne from ColdHeartFootballFacts.com for calling in. Todd, any closing thoughts before we head into week 3?
Well, why don't we go with a quick Patriots score? I'm going to say 21-17. Patriots.
Kevin?
Ooh. I'm going to go New England 27, Tampa Bay 14.
Ooh. Yeah, you can dream on with that one. I'm going to go 24-21, Pats, in a very close margin. Maybe one or two touchdowns from Doug Martin. Want to wish everyone the best of luck in your fantasy football matchups for week 3. And, of course, as we are broadcasting on Patriots.com radio, hopefully the Pats can improve to 3-0. For Todd DeVries, Kevin Collins, I'm Bill Enright. Thanks for listening to Football Nation.
Cleavage and Camel Toe.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.